In the proper last gospel, we read, "My house is a house of prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." During my recent trip to Mexico, I had a most edifying visit with three very fine priests. There was the inflappable Father Martin Gomez, whose humor is ever so delightful. And then there is Father Roberto Mardones, who, despite having only one leg due to his diabetes and his wheelchair bound, still manages every day to say his holy mass. And then there is, lastly, Father Jaime Siordia. Many of you who've been here for years might remember him from the time that he lived and worked at the old Sharonville Church, or from the many stories that Bishop Dolan used to tell us about his exorcisms in Mexico, and he did many of them, quite frightening. Well, each one of those priests meets with different challenges in his apostolate, and each has his own personal cross to deal with. Well, for Father Siordia, I think his main cross is having to maneuver around the cartels in Mexico. He lives in a small town named Cocoyoc, and he lives close to the border of another town. And there are constant wars between the rivaling cartels. And he told me that actually in Cocoyoc, there is one cartel killing per day. That's pretty high, actually. And as we were driving back on one of those main roads from a restaurant to the church, he began pointing along the sidewalks at all the crosses that were erected, and they were put there to mark a spot where a cartel shooting, a killing, had just taken place. 14 or so within a small area. Many of the police are lawmen during the day, he says, but then at night are members of the cartel. So the highways are not safe to travel at all. And he said, as we were driving back to the church, he pointed to a building that we drove by, and very close to the church, and he said, "See this place here?" He said, "That's where one of the chief of the cartel lives. He was sent to Texas. He was a law enforcement agent, and he was sent over to Texas to learn how to combat the cartels. But he actually was one of the chief ones." Well, the people have to deal with this all the time. It really is just as bad as the news tells you it is. But Father Siordia has always been highly respected in Cocoyoc and well known in the area. And he's the type that when he finds it necessary to speak out against the evil doings of the cartel, he does just that. Well, Father, at one point during my stay with him, told me that the cartels had actually tried to kill him at one point. And this he knows about. And he realizes that his life could be taken away at any moment in his stay in Cocoyoc. Well, the whole time that I was there with him, this good priest, he carried himself as if there were not a care in the world. He was calm, recollected, very prayerful, as well as sociable and always joyful, as if nothing else bad was going on. And so I had to ask him at the end of one of the car trips, "Father, how is it that with all of these problems and the threats to your life, that you can stay so calm and joyful?" And he answered by saying that Bishop Sanborn once, years ago, asked him the same question during all the years when Father was doing many, many exorcisms. But then he told me very sincerely, it wasn't one of those pious comments that are just made off the cuff. He really meant this one. How do you do it? I asked him. He said, Bishop, I pray. I pray, and God and the Blessed Virgin protect me. Prayer, my friends, is the answer to everything. St. John Chrysostom said that by prayer, man becomes almost omnipotent. And St. Augustine said this about prayer, it is the key that unlocks the treasury of the divine riches. As a man can get almost anything from his fellow men for gold, so he can obtain almost anything from God by means of prayer. Let him who is in affliction call upon God for help. He goes on to say, if he fail to do this, to call upon God, then let him blame his own indolence and folly instead of complaining of his own misery. Who would have patience with a beggar half starved with cold and hunger if he would not apply for help from a rich man who had already promised to help him? Well, you might say that we are beggars before God. We are needy, half starved with cold and hunger. And God is the rich man who has already promised his help if only we ask him for it. All we have to do is go to him. And if we do not do at least that, then we have absolutely no right to complain about anything in life. Whether it be that habit of sin that you just can't overcome, or the temptations that threaten to destroy you, or you struggle to carry your cross during the day, you find yourself grumbling and impatient most of the day. If you are not praying for the graces that you need, then you have no right to complain under any circumstance. Our Lord did say in the Gospel of St. Matthew, ask and it shall be given to you. And he said again in the same Gospel, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. These are promises from our blessed Lord. And before leaving his apostles, our Lord asked them, he wanted to teach them and through them us, a little lesson. He said to them, when I sent you forth without purse, without wallet or sandals, did you lack anything? And they answered our Lord, nothing. God is no liar. God cannot make a mental error. He delivers 100% of the time on his promises. Yet sometimes we behave as if we didn't believe these promises of Christ. It is possible now that you might find yourself out in the desert of spiritual aridity and abandonment with our Savior. You might find yourself in a state of absolute need. But remember, in the desert, Christ multiplied the loaves and fed the multitudes. You might find yourself, symbolically, out on the lake in the middle of a storm, as the apostles did. But our Lord, when awakened by the voices of the apostles, brought tranquility and calm to the wind and the sea. You will lack nothing as long as you pray. So why don't you ask? Why don't we turn to God in prayer even more than we do? Well, for some of us, it could be because we feel we've been away from him far too long. We've hidden a sin deep down in our soul, a mortal sin. We know it's there, and it causes us to shy away from God. It could be that we feel ourselves unworthy. But I think that it is often, at least in spiritual matters, temptations and the like, because we're afraid that if we ask something of God, that we will be heard, and then we will have to cooperate with graces. St. Augustine had that sort of fear when he prayed. That's why he said, "Convert me, O Lord, but not today, tomorrow." We don't ask because we are fearful of the efforts that we ourselves will have to make. Because, you know, we're taught by St. Ignatius that although we ought to pray as if everything depended upon God, we've got to do our part. We must work and labor as if everything depended upon us. Could that be why you don't pray more? Why you don't ask God for certain graces? But what are you doing? You who are in need, you have loved ones who have fallen away. You might be stuck in a rut in your spiritual life. You might find yourself depressed, sad, anxious. Well, pray. That's what St. James tells us in the sacred scriptures. You might have a long habit of sin, even mortal sin, that you just can't seem to get rid of. Pray. You worry about your children's salvation? Pray. You worry about the state of the church? Pray. You fear the judgment of God, which we will all meet? Well, then pray. You fear because of your past sins? Pray some more. Temptation surrounds you and makes you fear a near fall, then pray. Are you worried that you won't make it to heaven? Well, then don't waste any more time worrying about it. Pray. Ask God for heaven. What are you doing if you are not praying? Pray. Pray, pray, and then pray some more. And when God seems to be telling you no, pray again, and then pray some more still. That's the lesson of today's Saint Anne. You know, in the old law, the people considered a married couple without children to be sinners, somehow cursed. In fact, a priest in the temple would not even accept Saint Joachim's sacrifice because he and Saint Anne were without a child. Well, Saint Anne suffered very much from this, and she was already advanced in age. The liturgical year, though, tells us of an incident in Saint Anne's life that speaks of her suffering, but also the power of prayer. It was a great feast day, and St. Anne laid aside her mourning garments and put on a nuptial gown and went out to the garden to walk. She sat in the shade and began to pour her heart out to God in prayer. She said, "God of my fathers, bless me and hear my supplication, as thou didst hear Sarah and give her a son." And looking up, she saw in the laurel a sparrow's nest, and she sighed, "Of whom was I born to be thus a curse in Israel? To whom shall I liken myself? Not to the birds of the air, for the birds are blessed by thee. To whom shall I liken myself? Not to the beasts of the earth, for they are fruitful before thee. Not to the waters either, for they are not barren in thy sight. The rivers are full of fish, and praise thee. I cannot liken myself to the earth, for the earth bears fruit in due season." And it says, "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared, and stood by and said to Saint Anne, 'Anne, God has heard thy prayer. Thou shalt conceive and bear a child, and thy fruit shall be honored throughout the earth.' And that child, as you know, is Mary, the Mother of God. When God grants a prayer, He grants it in such a way as we had never could have imagined. Throughout all of Scripture and the writings of the fathers and the doctors of the church, the lives of the saints, we learn this lesson over and over again. We must pray, and that prayer actually works. Now, as for myself, I will never forget those words of a good holy priest who has had a difficult life of performing exorcisms, and whose life is now in danger from the cartel, yet he remains joyful and dutiful at all times. I will never forget his words when I asked him how he does it. "I pray, and God and the Blessed Virgin protect me." Whatever your need is, pray. And when you're done praying, pray some more. And if you're tired of praying for that same petition, pray more still, because God hears every prayer and answers it according to His will and in His time. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.